pray for a few moments. Lord, we thank you for the truths that we have just sung. What a perfect Saviour you are. Lord, that be a revelation afresh to us today. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your provision for us, that we could give back to you in some small way this morning. We just pray, Father, use what we have given this day for the furtherance of your kingdom. I just invite us to just quietly lift before the Lord one person that we know and we just feel they really need to meet this Jesus. Just in our hearts today, we think, oh, I really want that person to meet this beautiful Saviour. Just take a moment just to pray for that person. Pray for a way to share Christ with them or somehow that they're going to meet him. Just pray for them quietly for a few moments. Lord, we do want to bring to you also this morning the Ukraine situation and the confusion that is there. Father, we pray, empower your people who are there to be light in the darkness, Lord, in that nation. We pray for wisdom for leaders there and a resolution that does not, escalate to civil war, but we pray for a resolution of peace in that nation of existing with different opinions, Father. We just pray for good decisions to be made in these coming days in that troubled land. Father, now as we come to hear your word, Lord, I pray, reveal yourself to us as a perfect Saviour through your word. Speak, our Lord, into our hearts. We're ready to listen, to hear from you, to meet with Christ, as it were, through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Barbara comes to read our passage, just as we hear these verses, in the light of what we've already been hearing this morning, just see from these verses how perfect a Saviour Jesus is for the world that we live in. Let's listen to this reading.
The reading is from Isaiah 42, and that's on page 727 of the Church Bibles. Verses 1-9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in the darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. That's the word of the Lord.
wanted a perfect Saviour for a broken world. A perfect Saviour for a broken world. As we came back from Mozambique and as we prepared to go to Cambodia and began thinking about heading out there, I prayed and thought long and hard, how good is the gospel? What is so good about the gospel for people like those we want to meet and serve? What can Jesus do in their lives? And I was praying, Lord, I just want a rock solid confidence that there is hope because what Jesus has done and what he is still doing. And I pray that we see afresh today that Jesus is exactly what everyone and every place needs. There is hope. His name is Jesus. And this passage we find in Isaiah 42 is the first of four passages called the Servant Songs, speaking of the coming of the Messiah, a Redeemer. Matthew 12 applies this particular passage to Jesus, and we see some wonderful aspects of who he is and what a perfect Saviour he is. And it's off the back of chapter 41, which is speaking about emptiness and the uselessness of idols and the brokenness of society, the greatness of God in the face of all of that. And then along comes the Saviour who is prophesied, who is coming. And as I looked at this also, I was recognizing that we too are called to be about the things that Jesus is about. These things that are attributed here to Jesus, we find ourselves called to follow in his likeness into the nations. So in light of what we've been hearing today, does this sound like the Saviour the world needs? The perfect Saviour for a broken world. You see, the best thing about the gospel is Jesus himself. It unites us with Jesus. We're saved by a person. And it's Jesus that brings new life to people. I go out in his name, but something happens when people meet Jesus. We're changed from the inside out. So you just got this tremendous burden. They have to meet Jesus. I want to be really good at vocational skills and shelter and excellent things that we can all do as Christian communities all around the world. I want to be good at doing all those things in his name. But they have to meet Jesus. He's the one who saves, the one who restores. This is who we're introducing people to. Not a religion, not a culture, not a system of belief or a tradition, but him. And he really works to change lives. A new identity, belonging, a new role, freedom from the shame, the fear, the bitterness. He really works in our lives. It's Jesus that we want to introduce people to so much. The one who meets our deepest, deepest needs. So I want to draw out along the way just a few ways in which Jesus is a perfect Saviour for this world. And the first thing I want to notice is that he's the only Saviour there is. Verse 1 says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one. There is not another Saviour that God has appointed, and God is the only one true God there is, and this is the Christ he has chosen as a Saviour for the world. Acts 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name. Not any other religious leader, not a guru, not a philosophy, not any system anywhere. It's Jesus Christ alone. And worship is meaningless if we don't believe Jesus Christ is exclusively the way to God. We are not honouring God if we say there's many ways or other ways to God. God has chosen Jesus. He is utterly unique. The founders of religions, they said, I'll show you how to find God. Do this. Follow this path. This is the way to enlightenment. And Jesus comes and says, I am God who has come to find you. He's come down, the light of the world into the darkness. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, Luke 19 says. And we get this contrast in this passage starting in 42, off the back of 41, verse 29, which is speaking of the idolaters and all that they've been doing. See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion. And up steps the servant. God's remedy for that emptiness, that darkness, that confusion. Here he is, the servant of the Lord. There is only one. There is only one. Do you believe that today? There is only one Saviour. And are you right with that Saviour? Have you given your life to that Saviour? And am I following that Saviour? And am I proclaiming that that is the truth? That there is only one Saviour and his name is Jesus? Something else that just struck me seeing Jesus as a perfect Saviour through this passage is in verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, or a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He has tenderness towards the weak and the inadequate. He heals broken lives. Jesus heals broken lives. You see, that bruised reed and the smouldering wick, that's what others write off. They're about done. The light's going out. Maybe they think they're good for nothing. They're useless. Bruised reed, perhaps. Someone who is weak. But nothing is useless to Jesus. He is so full of compassion. The Saviour, it is prophesied here, will mend broken lives. He came looking for those who know their need of him. And we are all badly in need of Jesus. We're broken and he loves us. He doesn't discard us. And maybe we might be here this morning, Phil. I feel that bruised reed, that smouldering wick, the light's dim, the light's almost gone out. Nothing is too far gone. Jesus is the giver of new life. I've come to bring life and life in all its fullness, he said. The light's going out. Well, he's the light of the world. Lord, would you light me up this morning? Set a fire down in my heart and awaken a fresh fire and hunger for you. For those who have endured that shame and suffering that we saw of in that video with Carl, that girl, the shame that has been put on them. You know, in Cambodia, there is a proverb that actually goes like this. Men are like gold, women are like cloth. Men, more valuable, and you can clean them up. And it's back to normal. Cloth, once soiled, forever soiled. That's what that means. And we see in the Gospels how Jesus treats the vulnerable, how he comes alongside the hurting, how he heals, how he saves, and how everyone, just those who know they need him, just come. What a Saviour. The Gospel is the start and ongoing heart of all true transformation and wholeness because it introduces us to Jesus. The Gospel is the start and the ongoing heart of all true transformation and wholeness because it introduces us to Jesus. It introduces us to Jesus. And for those who felt that shame, that unworthiness, the impaired kind of self-image, Jesus speaks to you and he treats us with such tenderness and compassion, and he's a perfect Saviour for you. Psalm 34, verse 5, which has become one of my favourite verses in all the Bible as we have prepared and thought long about what we're doing. Psalm 34, verse 5 says that those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame. Look to Jesus, and we can see from the inside out a radiance, never covered in shame. Jesus, what a beautiful name. He's taken that shame away. And the Gospel is speaking to every area of our life, the whole of life. It's comprehensive. It says something right into our deepest being about every part of our lives. It's good news for the whole of our lives. It speaks to every struggle. It speaks with heart-mending compassion to us. God is the God of the new beginning. And we saw that just that verse 9 where it says, "See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare." He's the God of the new beginning. The source of life we read as creator, bringing new life. He's the one who gives that new identity. When your identity has been marred, a new identity, child of God. Not worthless, child of God. He gives that new identity. And it was wonderful to be in a rural church in a town called Siem Reap in Cambodia, where a young lady who had formerly been sexually exploited was leading that service of worship. And the pastor had one leg because he had been blown up in a mine. There's lots of landmines all over Cambodia. And he was leading the church. Jesus is in the reclamation and the restoration business. He does it all the time, everywhere. So are we thinking about our past? Are we thinking, I've ruled myself out? Are we thinking of failure? Are we thinking of shame? Here comes the servant, the perfect saviour of the world for us, for you. Listen to this from Leslie Newbegin. "The gospel makes it possible for those who were formerly no people to become God's people." The gospel makes it possible for those who were formerly no people to become God's people. It's good news. It's good news. And we see that he's the light for the Gentiles. That's the nations. That he's a light for the whole world. "You are my lamp, O Lord," said David. "The Lord turns my darkness into light." Buddhists are seeking enlightenment, but it won't work apart from the light of Christ. The light to the Gentiles. He's opening blind eyes to see the truth, to know him, to know the living God for themselves. He opens eyes that are blind. He brings light into our darkness. There is a bar in Phnom Penh's red light district that is actually called the Heart of Darkness. That is a venue you can go to in Phnom Penh called the Heart of Darkness. I stood outside it in Cambodia. The Heart of Darkness. And we are burdened and gripped that he's called us to reflect his light. "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. And then he also said, "You are the light of the world." And we go to reflect that light to others around us. He's this light for the whole world that's in darkness of sin and in idol worship and in total confusion. This is the light. He's like a lighthouse, leads us safe to shore. Safe to shore. He is the light of the world. And we saw that he's a deliverer of captives. A deliverer of captives in verse 7. And he says that again of himself when he speaks in Luke chapter 4 to set captives free. Bondage to sin, bondage to shame, bondage to addictions, fear of spirits, setting us free. The chains broken. And there are definite allusions here to the slavery of sin, the spiritual darkness, and Jesus is the answer to those. But the Israelites right here, they're in Babylon, physically enslaved. And God does really care about those today who are physically enslaved in some way or another. And there are around about 30 million people today reckoned to be in slavery today around the world. 30 million. And his people are called to reflect his nature and his passions and do something about that. He sets people free and he uses us to bring freedom too. Something else that makes Jesus a perfect saviour for our broken world. There's a word, we may have missed it, may have sort of glossed over it in verse 6. "I will keep you and make you a covenant," to be a covenant for the people. That was speaking of the new covenant that Jesus was going to bring into being. How did that happen? It happened through the cross where he suffered to bring reconciliation between us and God. He institutes the new covenant by his death. He deals with man's greatest problem, that separation from God, that rebellion. Jesus is the means through which we come into relationship with God. There is one mediator between God and man. And he's perfect. He's done it. We don't have to climb a ladder. I don't earn merit like we have to do in Buddhism. and I'm not trying to see if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and not sure if I'm ever going to reach the target or make it to God's love or God's heaven. No, he's done it. Buddha sits serenely. No scars, just sits serenely. And Buddha talks about pain, but Jesus knows a lot more about it. Buddha talks about pain, but Jesus knows a lot more about it. He's called the Jesus of the scars in a famous old poem. He's a wounded healer. He knows what it's like to suffer. And one of the other servant songs in Isaiah 53 speaks of Jesus being familiar with suffering and acquainted with grief. And a girl called Nari spoke of this God that she'd come to trust and believe in. And she said, "In God is a person to relieve me of my sorrows." A girl who'd been rescued from sex trafficking. "A God who can relieve me of my sorrows." And I want to encourage us as we reflect on what a perfect Saviour Jesus is, to now think for a while of our response to that. To be about the things that Jesus is about. And now when we read, "I will always be with you," in Matthew 28, we have a better idea of just what an awesome Saviour he is, that is with us. And notice the context of when Jesus says, "And I will always be with you." It's as we go to do the work of the kingdom. As we go sharing Christ, he's always with us and he's going to do the real changing of lives. But we're like the friends of the paralytic. We're like the friends of the paralytic who brought their friend to Jesus to do the work that only Jesus could do. But we are partnering with Christ and he will always be with us as we go. But we are called to go. We are called to reflect Christ in this world. The first thing that just is really on my heart on this is that we respond as we look at verse 8 to bring glory and honour to God, the one true God, whom right now is not being worshipped by all peoples. And we desire, and I pray that my greatest desire of all desires would be the fame of God's name. Read in verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols." So I respond, Jesus is a perfect Saviour and God is a holy and awesome God, and I want to see his renown in the nations. He's the most valuable being in the universe, the only one who's worthy of praise. Do you care about God's fame and God's glory? That right now, people are bowing before idols, locally and internationally, bowing before idols. They might be idols of wood, they could be idols of money and all the other things that we look to for our meaning. But people are bowing before idols, spinning prayer wheels, chanting into thin air, worshipping ancestors. We've got to be gripped by his majesty, that he does not share his glory with another. It all goes to him and it must all belong to him. He doesn't share it with idols, he doesn't share it with me. Let no glory come to ourselves. You know, we don't want people saying, "Oh, you're so brave, I could never do what you're doing." And I have had people say that to me. It's got nothing to do with it. And I just hope you heard from Ellie's testimony. This is just, we're all just small people saying yes to a very, very great God and have confidence in a perfect Saviour for a broken world. That's who we are. We're small people, you and us, small people saying yes to a great God, and we have confidence in a perfect Saviour for a broken world. That's who we are. So all the time we're saying, he's great. Run to him. He saves. He's worthy. Leave your idols. Throw it down. Leave the shame and come to a perfect Saviour. So we follow that example now. We think of following this example in a bit more detail now. Just think of a few things. How we are to echo Jesus. How we are to be like the fragrance of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 2 says. The fragrance of Jesus. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, we're told, as though God were making his appeal through us, pointing people to God's glory and pointing people to this Saviour, People meet Jesus through us. People hear of him through us. And God hears our prayers as we pray in situations and pray for people, that we would be about the things that Jesus is about, joining with his purposes. Let's note just a few parallels as we just think about this and respond in a moment. A few parallels between what Jesus' mission is, that we saw in Isaiah 42, and what God calls us to in the Bible too. We're not called to be a covenant. Jesus has done that. He's the one mediator. He's done that. But he's the light of the world, and he says, you are the light of the world. Salt and light to transform the world that we're living in from decay to hope and a future, and from darkness to light, that we could go to a place even called the heart of darkness and in Jesus' name shine the light of the gospel. So we're called to be light as Jesus is light. And we're called to serve people the way he's called a servant. And he was the perfect servant. Hope for them, for hope for people. He's serving in a perfect, compassionate way. Who can I serve next? Who can I bless next? We're called to serve and be compassionate as he's compassionate. Being tender as he is tender. And church should be a place where tired and broken people can come and find rest in Jesus' name. Instead, sometimes people find the to-do list or the profession, the kind of pressure to conform and look the part. We don't have to look the part here. We're in a place where we are compassionate and gracious with each other. We're called to mourn with those who mourn, to be honest, to be real, and to reflect Jesus' tenderness and kindness and mercy the way that we've seen it in Isaiah 42. And we are to care about justice, a perfect order, standing for what's right. We know we live in a broken world. All things won't be made right until the end, until heaven. But in the meantime, we are called to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute, called to act justly, to intervene on behalf of others. That's upon us in Scripture, to reflect Jesus in that way. And we saw in the passage, he's bringing justice to the nations, etc. So we're reflecting that aspect of Jesus too. And his rescue of captives. And Ellie read that passage from Psalm 82. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That we're called to be involved in that. And we're called to be a people who love the nations and go to nations and serve the people groups around our local area and the world for the fame of his name. Declare his glory among the nations, we're told. Jesus is about the nations, about winning the lost from the nations. And am I about that, the lost of the nations? You'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, Jesus said to his disciples. John Stott said, we must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. Global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. The spirit of Christ, Henry Martin said, is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. That's not going overseas. That is just simply introducing people to the perfect Saviour for a broken world. The nearer we are to Jesus, I just have to make sure people meet this Saviour. Their only hope, the Redeemer, the Chosen One. So let's be near to this Saviour. Let's know him with us as we go. This is who we want people so much, so we long for them to know this perfect Saviour. And live for the fame of God's name, to be hope for the broken, to be light in darkness, the way Jesus is light in darkness through us. I just want to think about how we might just pray for a moment and respond to these thoughts that have come from Isaiah 42 and the whole morning before we worship and close. We need to respond in some way. Maybe you resonated with Ellie's testimony. Maybe there's a day of true surrender before God for you about the things you know he's called you to do that has been a struggle to say yes to. And you just really want to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it anyway. With your help, I will say yes to you. And you've heard about imitating Christ. Yes, Lord, this is the life I want to live. I want to invite us to stand. I want to invite the band to come up. We're going to be ready to sing to close our service and worship. Let's stand in the presence of God and just have that moment in his presence, doing business with God and just saying yes to the Lord. Yes, I want to reflect you. Yes, I want to be about the things that you're about. Care about what you care about. Sort of make a kind of declaration as I pray it. If you agree with these things, just let them resonate in your heart about what you desire as we respond this morning. Lord, I want to burn brightly for you in this world and bring people to know a perfect Saviour for a broken world. Lord, empower me by your Spirit, small as I am, to share hope with the broken and the lost. Lord, enable me to introduce people to a perfect Saviour. Lord, show me the things that I need to put right. Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart. And here we are, we're willing, we're saying yes, Lord, we're just small. But we just say yes to you, yes to your purposes, yes to your glory, yes to your fame. No to idols, no to all this false, and yes to a perfect Saviour. I want to care about what you care about. Amen. Amen. Love to pray with anybody afterwards and talk with you. I know John's here, Emily's here, Ellie and myself are here. Love to just pray or talk or pray with a friend, pray with a home group leader, pray with a deacon. Do something, respond to what we've been sharing today. We're going to sing Jesus,